Isaiah chapter number 14. Please give me attention for just a few minutes this morning. I want to bring you the thought I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. What I'm going to say this morning is not received too well by this world. It's not received much by many churches. What I'm going to talk about this morning is probably the most hated thing about the Bible. What I'm going to talk about this morning is probably the most controversial, dreaded, fearful thing that men have in this world. Isaiah 14 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kingdoms of the nations. The verse said, hail from below is moved to meet you. It comes up to get you. You ever heard anybody say there's going to raise hell? You ever heard anybody say, that's what it's, there's, the Bible talks about stuff like that. Hell actually comes up to get you as you're dying. And many times it happened as before people were dying. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on the subject, surprises in hell. Surprises in hell. A surprise is something that happens suddenly or unexpectedly without warning. It's catching you unprepared. I don't like surprises. Usually they're not good, and there's no way to be ready for them. This morning, there's a place called hell. There's no way to describe it. Nothing on earth can compare to hell. No madman in his wildest fits of delirium ever imagined its horror. No one can picture a place so utterly terrible. No nightmare running through the mind of a madman could produce a horror to match the mildest hell. No murder scene with blood splashed and oozing wounds could ever even come close to showing the easiest, mildest part of hell. No gifted writer or speaker could describe it in such a way that you would get a good grasp of how hell really is. The unending flame, the corners and the caves, the screams of those that were unprepared to meet God. And again, you know why we run them buses out there and put gas in them, spend thousands of dollars every year? Because there's a hell that people go to that are not ready to meet God. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to deal with it. But according to God's Word, who cannot lie, there is a hell beneath us this morning that burns with everlasting flames, and people who say no to Jesus Christ are alive there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If a man died and went to hell, young people, I wonder what some of the surprises would be. There would definitely be some immediate surprises. We don't like to think about it, but it's true. The first one this morning, people will be surprised to find that hell exists. They're going to be surprised that it's even a real place. They thought it was just a state of mind for people on earth. They told themselves there was no such place. What a shock, being lowered consciously into hell and finding out that it's true. Imagine an atheist who all their life said there ain't no such place as that. Imagine an atheist who laughed at people for going to church and made fun of the Bible all his life and said, you people are crazy. Preachers made that up to scare you. You're in some kind of religious cult. You've lost your mind. It's a control factor. Religions, all of them are like, imagine how that person would feel the second they die, going out of this body and feel something pulling on their soul and going down like in an elevator shaft. Okay, I don't know if it's like that, but just imagine they were going down, 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 and they begin to smell a fire. They start hearing people screaming, and you start hearing people, and you say, no, I must be dreaming. This is a nightmare. No, but it is no nightmare. And you're lowering it down, and you feel the heat. You smell the brimstone, like sulfur, and the fire. And suddenly, the thought crosses your mind, maybe there is a hell. That's what happened to Tom Paine. That's what happened to Voltaire. That's what happened to Charles Darwin if he didn't get saved. That's what happened to John Lennon if he didn't get saved. John Lennon said, I don't believe in Jesus. His song, imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us. Imagine the surprise that it would be to find out that hell is really there. H-E-L-L with fire and fire all around it. Buddy, I'll tell you what, if we believed in that, that would make a difference in our life. You talk about giving out tracts. You talk about working on a bus route. You talk about reaching boys and girls, getting our families in church. Many will be surprised when they find out hell is really there. These rock singers and rappers, they think, I'm cool, man. Nobody can tell me what to do. I've got money. I've got the world by the tail. I've got a Lamborghini. I've got a crib up here that costs $2.5 million. I go anywhere I want. Imagine, and that car crashes or that heart stops beating or that overdose of drugs. How surprised they will be when all of a sudden they begin to hear screams. You're no celebrity here. Your money ain't going to get you out of here. I mean, your popularity don't do you no good here. I'm going to tell you something, brother. The shoe's going to be on the other foot one of these days, people. There is a hell. They'll be surprised that there's a hell. They'll be surprised. They'll say, no, I didn't believe in this place. I didn't think it was real. Oh, God, but it is real. And they'll find that out when they die. There's no way to describe it. They thought preachers made it up. They learned their efforts to disprove that hell was a grave. Their time and their money and their reasoning was wasted. Robert Ingersoll, you might know him. He was a famous atheist. And he used to go around giving lectures about proving that there was no hell. And he had a large following. He would be somewhat today like Bill Maher or Richard Dawkins or somebody like that. People looked to him. They said, he's cool, he's smart, he's intellectual, he's educated, let's listen to him. And he'd stand up and he would lecture for 30 minutes on how I know there's no God and no hell. And he'd say things like, well, I tell you what, if there's a God, I'll give him 5 minutes to kill me. I dare you. And he would curse God and say, you got 5 minutes. If you're there, kill me. Now, we know he will, right, if he's real. So we'll find out if there's a God. 4 would go by. He'd be laughing and talking. There'd be 1 minute left. There'd be people sitting around like this, saying, oh, God, oh, no. When the 5 minutes were there, of course the Lord don't pay no attention to fools like that. So he would just let him stand there. And he would laugh and say, there is no God. And people believed in him. And they said, when he used to stand up and give those lectures, somebody would stand up in the crowd and they'd say, make it good, Bob. We're depending on you. Make it good, Bob. We're depending on you. And he had all these people saying, we want to get drunk. We want a party. We're counting on you, Bob. I hope you know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I ain't counting on Bob. I ain't believing Bob. Bob ain't never been dead. Bob didn't live in just a few years. I'm counting on one that said this. He said, I was dead and I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. You better believe a man that's been there. And the Lord Jesus Christ said there is a hell. Imagine the horror. Imagine the surprise that Bob Ingersoll had when he woke up and found out it's real. Number 2, some will be surprised that they are there. Imagine the shock that some people will have when they wake up in hell and thought they'd saved their whole life. Buddy, I'd hate to go to hell. But I'd really hate to go thinking all my life I was going to heaven. And son, there's a million a day dropping in there at least that believed that just because they were religious or they was raised a Catholic or they was brought up in a Baptist church, they think, I'm going to heaven. You boys know y'all saved? All you kids come on the bus, do you know you're saved? This ain't no game. We ain't playing games this morning. God ain't joking. We didn't build all this stuff in here and spend time. And I mean, I don't travel and preach and scream my head off like it because I'm bored. There is a hell. There's a hell. And you don't want to go when you die, people. You better listen to me this morning. They'll be surprised that they're there. I'm telling you, they found out their religion wouldn't prevent them from going to hell. They thought their church membership would save them. Amen. I remember old Dr. John R. Ice. He said he remembered when he was just a little boy. And he said they was real poor and had a big, huge family. And he said everybody would stand around the Christmas tree when he was just little. And they would pass out presents. And a lot of times there wasn't enough to go around. And he said he remembered the sick, empty feeling that he had in his stomach when his name wasn't called. He said, I didn't get nothing. I didn't get nothing. And he said, I felt left out. He said it was an awful feeling. Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing before God and God opening the book and opening up and saying, where's your name? And you're sitting there hoping, I hope my name's there. I hope my name's there. I hope my name's there. And the angel shakes his head and saying, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. I can't imagine how that must feel. You kids better know. You better know you're saved. You better what? You've been out playing around, been doing stupid stuff. You've been out sinning. You've been out partying. I'm telling you what you better do. If you got a brain in your head, you better make sure you're right with God, because you liable to just wake up in hell thinking you was going to heaven the whole time. It'd be a surprise. It'd be a surprise to wake up in hell. Think some of you mamas sitting right back there. Some of you daddies right over here. You might, well, I'm a pretty good person. I got saved a long time ago. Now maybe you did. I'm not judging nobody. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd hate to die with what I've seen some of you people got. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not your judge. But I wouldn't want to die in your shoes. I'll say that much. I'm telling you, brother, we're not saved by our works. But if God's ever saved you, it'll come out of you somehow or another. There'll be some kind of evidence. I'm telling you that this morning, you better know you're saved, because you'll be surprised that you're there. Can you imagine a priest lifting up his eyes on hell? You say, preacher, that couldn't. Oh, yes, it happened. It has happened. There's preachers in hell this morning. Jesus said there'd be some of them come say, we've done many wonderful works in your name. And the Lord will look back at him and say, I know you not. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm so thankful and glad. The Lord will never say to me, Danny, I never knew you. I know him this morning. I know him. Them two songs, I sung them two songs for a reason this morning. I'm glad I'm not going to hell, and I'm glad I know him. He can't look at me and say, I never knew you. He does know me. And I know him. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. Well, buddy, I'll tell you something this morning. What a shout and praise God. Hallelujah. We're not going to hell when we die. Listen, if that don't make you get up and come to church and do right, there's something wrong with you. You're not going to blister in the fire. You're not going to fry like a piece of bacon in a pan. We're not going to do it. We're not going, brother. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven when we die. We're going to heaven. Just remember that when you start trying to remember how hard it is to live right. Just remember that when the other kids want to go party and you say no. Just remember that when you start feeling sorry for yourself about how pitiful you are and how hard you're having it. Glory to God, we got it made, brother. We're heaven bound with a hammer down and making progress every day. We're not going to hell. Just shout and praise God for that. Some will be surprised that they're there. You'll find out Jesus meant what he said when he said you must be born again. I don't care what kind of family you was raised in. It doesn't matter if you was raised a Presbyterian or a Catholic or you've been confirmed. That's got nothing to do with being saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. Number three, Some will be surprised, listen young people, at how fast they got to hell. They'll be surprised they did not have more time. Many young people go to hell. They thought, surely He would give me more time. The Lord's good. Won't He let me live a little bit longer? I mean, I know I'm partying now, and I'm living in sin right now, but God's good. He's not going to let nothing happen to me, is He? He's not going to let me die this young. And there's thousands of teenagers who went to hell last night, y'all's age. And they thought, how did I get here so quick? I was only 16. I was only 18. God, I was only 9. I don't have a chance. I thought I'd have more time. I was going to wait till I got a little older. I was going to do better when I got out of college. I was going to do better. But God, how did I get here this quick? They'll be surprised at how fast they came to hell. Let me tell you a verse of Scripture. That book says, he that being often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means that people keep telling you and telling you and telling you and telling you, and you won't listen, you're going to get cut off real quick. That's what that means. He that being often reproved, and the Lord has told some of you kids and warned some of y'all adults, and I've screamed at you, and the Lord's told you, and you still keep thinking, I can play around a little bit longer, I can fool around a little bit. You just don't know. You're liable to wind up in hell a lot faster than you think you will. God didn't give them a sign. They didn't have 3 or 4 days to lay in the hospital and pray. They didn't have time. Just breathe in 1 second, inhale the next. Next breath. Number 4. Some will be surprised at who they find in hell. The presence of the wicked of all ages. Ancient figures they've heard of. Hitler, Herod, Jezebel, the rich man, movie stars, athletes, maybe some of your heroes, friends, relatives. Some thought that they might have went to heaven. And they'll look around. And I know it's dark in hell, and there'll be gnashing of teeth and weeping. I picture hell like you had this big old ball. And you're inside of this ball like a donut. And it has all sides. It don't have a bottom. That's why it's called the bottomless pit. If you were inside of a donut, a hollow donut, and it's inside the world, and the world's spinning, okay, you're inside this thing, and the walls are round. So you can't get no footing. You can't stand up. And you can't never get solid. And the world's spinning, so you're just getting slung around and around and flipping over like that all the time. And then fire shooting out here and there, and you're screaming and bumping into people. And if you ever did bump into somebody, you know, you bite them and say, I hate you. There'll be girls that'll cuss their mother for not taking her to church and saying, Mama, why did you let me go to that dance? Why did you dress me like a little prostitute when I was 12 years old and teach me the wrong way? Daddy, why did you teach me to drink? Daddy, and they'll hate. There is no love. There's only hate. There's only hate and misery and torment. Bible said that, man, I'm preaching you the Bible this morning. You want the Bible? This is the Bible. Jesus said that man was in torments. He said, I put some water on my tongue, and like that right there. He put it on my tongue that I'm cool in this flame. Number 5. Some will be surprised at the torments that are waiting in hell. The flames are real. You hear the door open. Blackness. Darkness. Separation. Death, who is a dreaded monster on this earth, would be a welcome angel when you get to hell. The most thing you dread more than anything here is death. You'd love it when you get there. You'd beg to die, but you can't.
surprised that God would really let this happen. Nowadays, people have an idea as hell is, people have this idea of whatever's bad here in your life now is hell. I talked to a man one time, I talked to him about going to hell. He said, "Man, I'm in hell." I said, "No, you're not either. You're not in hell." He said, "I am too." I said, "You can, right over there's a spigot. You can go over and get water. You ain't in hell. That proves you're not in hell. There is no water there." I'm going to tell you something. You can play around and you can think you're smart and you're cool and you got it all figured out and you're all hip and everything. And I know. That's old Danny. He just gets, you know. And you'll find out one day. You'll find out. I'd run to the Lord this morning. I'd get in this altar and I'd say, "Oh God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be surprised in hell." Number six. Some will be surprised that God permits the torments to continue. Eternal punishment is an eternal payment for an eternal sin against an eternal God. I used to tell myself, I had this motorcycle before I got saved. When I was 16, I had a motorcycle and a car. And it's a miracle, God, that I didn't get killed on both of them. I had this little bitty car, and it was a convertible, and I'd take the top off of it, and I'd ride all over Nebo. And I remember going around them curves up there at 70 miles an hour, and I mean, I wasn't drinking or nothing. But I just remember thinking. I'm going to wreck. Somebody's going to hit me. And in the back of my head, my mom was singing, "Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to go to heaven." Hell is an awful, awful place. And I remember going around them curves and I think, yeah, it's going to happen. I'm going to hit somebody head on. I'm going to wind up in hell. And then I started reasoning. I thought, well, everybody else is going. Just about everybody else is. If they can stand it, I can. That's how stupid I was. I remember thinking, well, maybe it's not forever. I said, maybe you'll just burn up like a piece of paper. And then I said, no, Mom said that the worm don't die and the fire's not quenched and you burn forever. And I remember in my mind, I thought, that can't be right. That can't be right. Maybe you won't burn forever. And then I thought, maybe if I sin for 16 years and I die, maybe I'll just burn for 16 years. And then maybe I can stand it for... You know how stupid it is to think about burning for 16 years? If that's all they was, that'd be a plenty of good reason to get saved. 1 year. Take your hand and go turn your stove on in your kitchen and let it get orange hot and hold your hand on there. 5 seconds. You can't do it 5 seconds. You see how the devil's got people deceived? Listen. The devil, the God of this world, has people in Burke County so blind, if they could open their eyes and see what I'm preaching about this morning, you could not get them in this church, and every other church in Burke County would be packed full of people saying, "What do I got to do to get saved?" But the devil's got you blinded. You've seen so many movies, it's a joke. You've seen the devil in a little pitchfork in a cartoon to where it's a joke no more. It ain't no joke. Some people will be surprised that God lets the torments continue. 1 million years. 2 million years. 1 billion years. You've heard me tell the illustration. They said if you could take a solid steel ball the size of the earth and put a little ant on that ball and let it start crawling around like it was just crawling around right here, crawling all around the world. When that ant wore that thing down the size of a marble, you'd only be just starting when you go to hell. If a bird flew to Myrtle Beach, picked up one grain of sand and flew to the moon and dropped it, and flew all the way back and got one more, and flew all the way to the moon and dropped it, and flew all the way to the earth and got another one, and flew all the way to the moon and dropped it. By the time it moved every grain of sand on the South Carolina coast, you're just getting started. Now, I don't know your heart here this morning. But I know one thing. If there's any doubt in your mind, I'd settle it today. Because there's going to be people surprised when they get to hell. Won't you bow your head?